Morning, everyone. Welcome to our County Commission meeting. Will you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Come on, Mike, you can help us pray.
If you can get in.
Our God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And we ask that you guide us as we do the public's work. We also ask that you watch over those that make this work possible and are on the front lines of freedom around the world. We thank you for so many things that you give to us, and we ask that we never take them for granted. Forgive us when we sin. Keep us close to your love, and always keep us mindful of our duty to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We'll begin our agenda with Cindy Brown. Cindy, welcome and good morning.
The press is all here for you.
Wow, I'm feeling really special today. And standing here with this award was going to be awkward anyway. I thought maybe I could be like the Academy Awards and say I'd like to thank my mother and my father, Dan the phone man. You know, it's a little awkward. But anyway, we are here. Well, Ray was with me, and we forgot our camera. It's all my fault. It's not Ray's. I take full responsibility. So maybe the photo op will have to be later. But we are so pleased to let you know that at the recent 4th Annual Child Support Training Conference, the CSEA was the overall top performer for the fiscal year of 2005, as well as we received the highest performance percentage for collections on cases with arrears. We're really excited about that. I think that with the challenges that CSEA has faced this year with the budget deficit, as well as not being able to replace those employees who have left for retirement, I think our employees, our agency has done an excellent job. And Ray just walked in. Ray, you want to come over and say anything? I told him about the camera. I blamed it all on me. I made him go back. It's all my fault.
The camera was with Gary Day.
Oh, it's Gary's fault.
Yeah, so we don't have a camera.
Yeah, it's Gary's fault. We'll come back for a photo op again.
There was just a few interesting statistics that Cindy wanted me to share. At this time last year, from our overall caseload that we had, our paternity establishments were approximately 94%. They're up to 99% of our open cases, and our support orders that we've established on our open cases last year at this time was 77%. Now it's approximately 82%, which is a significant increase in both those categories. And our collections are up approximately $434,000 from the same time last year. And this is really significant in that our employees last year in 2005, we had 120 and we're down to approximately 83. So that's doing a lot with a lot less.
Yeah. Well, thank you and congratulations to both of your leaderships. I couldn't be happier with the performance that you're doing and working very well together, and the enthusiasm is just contagious, I know.
So. Yeah, we're enthused. And we haven't stopped being enthused, and much to the chagrin of a lot of people, I'm back and healthy again, and a lot of people going, oh my gosh. So we're raring to go, and we really appreciate all the support and help that the commissioners and Derek have given us, and we'll continue to do a good job for you.
Great, thank you.
We certainly would like to commend you and your staff for a job well done, especially Lean and Mean now that you've lost or cut back on the through attrition and so on, but glad to have you back healthy and well. And
thanks,
Jeff. You certainly make Butler County proud. Excellent
thank
job.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you.
Right.
Have a good day.
All right.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Dave.
Award-winning plats.
Always.
Estates subdivision at Boxburg. This is for 13 lots in Westchester Township.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolliver?
Yes.
The second item for approval is South Point Crossing. This is in Oxford Township. This is the student housing project you guys might remember from last year. This is the final plat.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolliver?
Yes.
And one last item. This is Stonegate Subdivision. This is in Westchester Township.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolliver?
Yes.
Thank you. Charles Ryan? Is Charles Ryan here? Morning, Mr. Ryan.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. Beautiful day.
I'm here. My name's Charles Ryan. I live out on Route 4, 3980 Hamilton Middletown Road. I'm here because of an easement problem with the Metro Park system. I sent a letter, or I hand-delivered a letter here. I don't know whether you've had a chance to read it or not, but if not, I can read it for you here. I'm writing this letter in reference to the easement to Metro Parks at 3976 Hamilton Middletown Road. In essence, this says, I believe that you have created a public safety problem when you open this lane for public use. Some of the reasons follow. This lane does not meet Butler County standards. The bridge is too narrow and does not have a guardrail on either side. You do not have any signs that inform the public that there is no outlet. Anyone that drives back to your gate, if the gate is locked, cannot turn around. The easement is only 24 feet wide. They would have to back out 2,500 plus feet through a narrow bridge onto Route 4, which is a busy four-lane highway. When you invite the public into your facility under these conditions, I feel as the property owner, I should not have to bear the sole responsibility should an accident occur on said property. These problems may seem trivial to you, but the consequences are far-reaching and become serious as well as a financial burden to me. I have some other issues that I wish to discuss with you. This was directed to Mr. Michael J. Musco, Director, Secretary of Metro Parks. I have some other issues I wish to discuss with you regarding the easement agreement that are not safety related. Please contact me at your earliest convenience. Now, I wrote this letter on July 25th, and I sent a copy to the Butler County Engineer, dropped a copy off here, and also sent a copy to my insurance company. Now, my insurance company is kind of upset. They really don't want to insure me under these conditions. And I'm here for some kind of relief because I feel that I shouldn't bear the sole responsibility here.
Mr. Conklin, do you have...
Well, I think my first suggestion is we refer this matter to the prosecutor's office and our insurance company to see... if there's any way to indemnify Mr. Ryan, or if there's a legal way to do that, and then bring the issue back to the commissioners and to the Parks Board and County Engineer.
Mr. Ryan, have you heard from the Metro Parks yet, from your letter?
Okay. I tried to get a meeting, and he promised to meet me, but he never made the meeting. Okay. I have got no response from anyone over these letters. And that's kind of irritating, really.
Sure. But we'll follow. I think that Mr. Collin has a good suggestion, and also contact the Metro Park about what we're going to do about in the future about this road. So,
well, I know that a letter that was sent to me by well, I don't have that one with me. Yes, I do. By Mr. Michael Muska, clearly states that they have adjoining properties to this. They are no longer landlocked, and if you could pick an alternate route, it would be better for everybody concerned, because they have properties that are within 50 or 75 feet of the Girl Scout, or the old Girl Scout camp, or the existing Metro Parks camp. And I think it would be cheaper in the long run to put another gravel road in, because that's all this is anyway. And they could connect their properties in another place instead of maintaining a 2,500-foot roadway, which is dangerous to the public, in my opinion. And another concern I have, which has nothing to do with the property that I own, but the entrance to that roadway, if you're going west on Route 4, when you make that turn coming from Middletown towards Hamilton, there's a drop-off there that several vehicles have dropped into because you have to swing way around it. There's no catch basin there. It's really not a legal culvert there. But that's really not my problem. But I wanted to bring that to your attention.
Well, Mr. Ryan, we'll make sure that the Metro Parks gets in touch with you, and we'll talk to our prosecutor about how we can't make sure that it's not your responsibility.
But until then, what am I supposed to do? Sit with my fingers crossed and hope nothing happens?
Well, there's nothing we can do for you right like this moment until we refer it up to the prosecutor. So hopefully in the next day or two I can get you a response.
Okay, then I won't take up any more of your time. Thank you very much.
Yes,
Mr.
Ryan.
Ryan, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Your goal is not just to get indemnification. Your goal is shut the road down, isn't it, for public use?
No, not at all. All I want to do is improve it and get it up to the standards that are in the easement agreement.
Okay.
The easement
so
agreement.
That, you'd be satisfied with that if
yes.
they can make the
and,
road.
And get my name off the liability part of it.
Got it. Okay.
And,
that makes sense.
There's at least three areas there that does not meet the criteria of the easement agreement.
Got it.
And until that's done, I feel that I'm in jeopardy.
So if it meets the easement criteria improved and the liability for any accident occurring there is resolved so that it's not on your shoulders,
yes,
you'd be okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Before we get into the next item on the agenda, we'll do communications.
Okay.
I have a question about communication. Is the hiring of the
mm-hmm.
dog warrant?
You want that separate?
I'd like that separate if I might.
First would be approved minutes from the last meeting, approved travel and training, hire temporary intermittent deputy dog warden, hire civil clerk court aide, accept resignation of dietary aide for county home, under an engineer, grant bid award to Arrow Mark for contract 6-15, exchange bonds for Creekside Metal Section 2, Keener Metals Block A, Keener's Metal Block A, Keener Metal Block B, Block C for Keener Metal, performance bond for Keener Metal Block C, exchange bond for Cedar Brooks 7A, exchange bonds for Trails of Four Bridges 2B, 2C, and Phase 4. Advertise for bids for construction of number 6.4 operating truck barn. Grant a cancel performance bond for Walden Pond Section 5. execute contract with John R. Jurgensen Company for contract 6-14, levy assessment for stormwater management for 28.88 acres in Liberty Township, reduce load limit for Milford Township. Under environmental services, accept resignation or terminate the 06 environmental services seasonal employee program. Release maintenance bonds for Tylersville Subdivision Section Sanitary Extension, Fairfield Ridge Phase 2, Union Center Commerce Park Phase 4A and 4B, Herman Road Sanitary Extension, Summerline Section 5, Mercedes-Benz Water Main Extension. Approve the residential commercial shul rates for Village of New Miami. Rescind Resolution 963 and 1463 and amend Resolution 81313 Advertise for bids for contract 4-63 and CJ 131 and CJ 141. Grant bid awards to Sinesis Construction Company for contract number 3-C8 and 98-D2. Approve and execute agreement for manhole installation relief with Randall Colwell and Billy Reeves, and payment for catering services for 06 annual biosolid stakeholder meeting. Approve transfers and appropriations, also care facility transfers and appropriations, and approve two child care contracts, one with Jelly Bean Junction Learning Center and Christ United Methodist Church.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
It's
excluding the one you want.
Okay, yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Then I have a resolution to employ Vicki Steyer in the position of Chief Dog Warden.
Mr. President, may I speak to this issue?
Sure.
I do not know Vicki, and I'm sure, given the recommendations from staff, that she has good qualifications. I've not seen, I know I think you advertised twice for this, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen any of the resumes that have been offered people that are interested in the position. I've not met Ms. Steyer, and given the subject that we have that I do want to pursue later, I'd like to have an opportunity to really look to see what of the other 50, what we get about 50 some resumes, mm-hmm. you know, what the choices were. My main issue here is didn't really have much to do with the candidate you're recommending. It has to do with, I'm amazed that in a county of 350,000 people that we cannot find someone qualified to be the dog warden from Butler County. And this is no reflection on Ms. Steyer, but it is a reflection. We have a lot of folks that are unemployed here who have excellent credentials. Frankly, I think that with exception of, you know, engineers and lawyers and so forth, there isn't a job in this county, including a commissioner, that anybody with average intelligence can't learn in about 90 days. It generally comes down to what forms you fill out and, you know, how you work with people, what your attitude, what your overall competence level is. I would suggest that at minimum, we put it on hold until, I don't know if the other commissioners have had an opportunity to look at the other resumes, but and this isn't like a crusade or anything for me. It's just a matter of I'm amazed that we can't find somebody in Butler County who's qualified to be dog warden. So I would, at minimum, vote to delay the decision on this, and if there's any sentiment for that, and if not, just vote no, but not a loud no, but just simply suggesting that someplace in a county of 350,000 people, there's somebody qualified to be our chief dog warden, particularly when we get to the next issue where we'll be talking hopefully about the idea of going out, raising money in investments in the new dog shelter. It'd be nice to have somebody from Butler County that has relationships that can translate to fundraising ability to help and assist in that program.
you know, I appreciate your comments, Mr. Fox, but I think, Derek, with this this process has taken on a pretty widespread scrutiny, having been posted twice, and I think even Mr. Gordon reviewed the applications, is that right? And recommended this person for the job being the best qualified. Mr. Gordon, would you like to comment on the...
Yeah, we've posted on several national websites that just deal with animal shelters and animal control, and we've also advertised it locally. And essentially, it is kind of a specialized position. There's a lot of legal aspects involved with animal cruelty. So it is kind of like the attorneys or engineers. It's a very specialized position. It's very important because it deals with animals and pressing charges against people that could possibly end up in jail or have large fines. So I understand a lot of people can learn things over time, but essentially we went through the stack of resumes, and essentially she has a lot of animal shelter experience and a lot of animal control experience and legal experience, which is really going to hopefully get the animal situation under control of other counties. Because right now we're going to get into in a few minutes how the animal situation is a problem. So we need somebody really spearheading that, and I think she's good. But rest assured, Mr. Fox, that we have looked over all the resumes, and I've actually been doing the position since February. So we've gone over lots of resumes, and it's not just me. It's Eric's also gone over the department, and we really found somebody that'll be a leader. I know there's a lot of city looks for a new city manager. A lot of times they'll look outside of the state, because sometimes it's good to have new people come in and add a fresh approach to a way of doing business. So I think you guys as a whole will not be disappointed in the interview or a long interview. And Derek would come in. Derek is also really involved in the animal shelter, and he has animals himself. So I think it's definitely a good choice.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Have either of the commissioners met this person or seen the other resumes?
No.
I mean, when I hire somebody, I kind of like to meet them, know who I'm dealing with. And I appreciate the time that you've spent on this, but ultimately this is a commission hire. And I think it would be useful for us to...
I can appreciate that, but you know, we have 650 people. We don't sit down and meet with each one that we hire.
No, but this is a department head, and we've had two that we've hired that I didn't meet, and didn't work out too well. And I'm not offering any comments or reflecting on this candidate, because Leland, I know you've been doing an extraordinarily good job in your position, and not suggesting that your sense of judgment isn't a good one. I'm just saying that I'd like to know who we didn't pick. I'd like to look at that stack, and you know, if it turns out that it makes sense to me, then that's fine, because as you point out, this is an important position. But
sometimes it's good, I'm sure you're aware, to bring in people from outside, because it changes how things are operated. I understand you guys have problems with the last two chief wardens, but the resume of this chief warden versus the other chief warden is completely different.
And again, I'm not challenging that. I'm just saying that we've got over 50 resumes. Apparently none of the commissioners have seen any of them. None of the commissioners have met this particular candidate. It is a department head, and by your own admission, it's although not to demean that position, but frankly, I can't imagine that being the chief dog warden is some abstract thing that can't be learned pretty quickly. Anyway, that's all, and it's no big deal. I mean, I'm in the business of, you know, raise my issue, go on to the next vote.
Mr. President?
Mr. Furman?
I'd just like to state that we have an HR division that is actually second to none, and we've been in touch with them on a regular basis about this hiring, and I do put a lot of stock in what they say. So with all things considered, I'm ready to move on with this issue.
That's fine.
You make a motion?
I motion we, yes, move to Approve.
Okay. Commissioner Fox?
No.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalvin?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Court?
Commissioners, my name is Leland Gordon. I'm the executive director of the Animal Friends Humane Society, and this is one of our active volunteers, Kate Gaston. She's 14, and what I'd like to do is speak about our issues that we have at the animal shelter, and then she'll also speak about the animal shelter. It'll be as quick as possible. But let me give you an overview of the shelter, the Animal Friends Humane Society. It's the largest, oldest nonprofit animal shelter in Butler County. We've actually been operating for 54 years out of that building, which is unbelievable. 54 years for a commercial building is a pretty long time, especially one that's housing animals. We're known as an open admission shelter, which means we take in everything from the most aggressive animals to the friendliest animals, and we even take in deceased animals. So essentially, we're taking in around 7,000 to 8,000 animals a year, which works out to be about 24 animals a day, 6 days a week on average. So it's an incredible amount of animals that we have coming in. There are three animal shelters in Butler County. However, we are handling the bulk of the animals coming in because of our open admission policy. We house stray dogs. We also house cats that are strays, essentially. And then we also house people's own pets, cats and dogs, who can no longer care for their own cats and dogs. Now, we do have a lot of animals come in, but we also have a lot of great programs in the community to try and save as many of these pets as possible. We have mobile adoptions. We have a mobile adoption unit, which will actually drive out to businesses every week, and we try and do adoptions through there. We're on the internet, and we post almost all our pets for adoption on the internet, and we have volunteers that do that 3 days a week. We also have cats for adoption in three pet stores. And then we also send out emails and newsletters. We're doing as many things as we can as possible to try and save as many animals as possible. We also have many volunteer programs for area youth. We actually have more children volunteering at our shelter than adults. And I have no problem with that because the dogs and cats don't know the difference. So as long as they have people spending time with them, that's fine. But we have lots of volunteer opportunities for seniors, for youth, for everybody in between. The problems with the shelter are unbelievable. When you have a building that's that old, it can't handle it anymore. 54 years is essentially too old. One of our biggest problems is we're on a septic line, and it's a very old septic line, 54 years old. We have four septic tanks, and we have frequent backups in the shelter of sewage that go into the kennels. We've been working with you guys to keep that problem settled in the short term here. But essentially, our leach lines off of those, they're old, they're collapsed, they're no longer working properly. We also have animals that are stacked in two large sections, three on top of each other. The cages are actually one, two, three. The animals on the top go to the bathroom, and it'll flow down to the cages beneath it, which is a tremendous health problem for the animals. In several of the sections, when we're cleaning their cages in the morning, they actually have to be tied out on leashes where they can go to the bathroom, and what'll happen is they'll be standing in each other's waist, they'll be able to touch each other, and it's terrible for disease control. Fortunately, it's been like that for 54 years, but it's hopefully going to end with us working together. So we do have overcrowding problems with the 24 animals a day on average coming in. One of the most common diseases we have is kennel cough, which is the common cold with dogs. We also get occasional cases of parvo, which is deadly for puppies in the shelter. And animals get that from stepping in each other's waist. And what we have to do lately is we've been taking some of the puppies when they first come in, and we have a rented mobile office next to the shelter, and we've been keeping the puppies in the office to try and keep them healthy, and that's actually working. But it's pathetic. We shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to keep the animals in the shelter instead of moving out to a mobile office. So our biggest problem is sickness and overcrowding in the shelter, two big problems. We do as much as we can to try and keep these animals healthy, but you all are welcome to come visit. You find very few commercial facilities that are housing animals that are that old. So with the new animal shelter, we'll have a drastic reduction in the health problems. We have a design where the animals won't be exposed to each other anymore when they're being cleaned. And then we'll also be able to decrease our euthanizations. We euthanize about 4,000 animals a year. And the most depressing thing is when the animals come in healthy and then get sick at our animal shelter and then we have to put them to sleep. And that's our fault. But what can we do? If we don't have the money to build a new shelter, we're essentially going to have to deal with what we have now, which we want to end. At this point, we do have an architect lined up that's willing to donate his services. We also have a general contractor lined up who's willing to build the shelter at cost. And they're friends of the shelter, and we know them. So when they do say at cost, they mean at cost. So we're very excited about that right now. Essentially, the time is now for a new shelter. We can't wait 2 years. We can't try and raise this off of, well, let's raise the license fees, and maybe 2 years down the road, we'll have the money to build it. There's animals dying there daily. And I know we have a lot of issues in Butler County, but it's something that we've been serving the county. We've been serving you folks for almost 54 years now, and we've been doing it at a very low cost with the contract that we sign every year. It's a very low cost compared to the nearby counties and their animal controls. So essentially, we've been doing a good job, and we're hopefully to be awarded and get some financial support. Montgomery County up in Dayton, they recently built a new shelter for $5 million. That was completed recently, and that was paid for 100% by the taxpayers. Their shelter up there is run by the county. Warren County over in Lebanon, they recently expanded their shelter. They just expanded it, and that expansion alone was just $2.8 million. Okay, and then SPCA down in Cincinnati, which is also like us, they're private, but they get government support. They're building a shelter right now in Sharonville for $10 million. So it is expensive. Our goal is to raise $3 million. We're not expecting the county to pay 100% for that, but we are expecting the county to help us out with a large portion of that, because we've been doing it together for so many years. I know we can do this together and make it happen. Once again, all these programs that we've been doing for years and years and years have been a very low cost to the county. And together, I really do think we can make this happen. Please read all the materials that I put on your desk. There's a video in there you can watch in your personal computer at home. But we really, really need to end the suffering at the shelter. And now, hand it over to Kate.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you what I see when I go to volunteer at the shelter. My friend Michelle couldn't be here today. She started school. But we both go out there and volunteer a lot. And I had some pictures that I wanted to show you about it. Space was one of the big problems, like Leland had said, at their shelter. And the first picture is that's their only room for cleaning and laundry and to hold supplies. And that's not nearly enough space. A lot of the problems is because there's overcrowding. And the garage has also now become a place to keep animals when there's no room in kennels. And when you look at that picture, there's small cages that are stacked up in the garage, and animals are actually in those waiting for spaces to go in the kennels. But when they first come and there's not room, they have to wait there for space. They have larger kennels there for some of the bigger animals, and they are bigger kennels, but they're not big enough for two animals. And right now, two animals are being stacked in those because there's not enough space anywhere else. There's also a problem with diseases at the shelter. Because the cages are stacked by three, when waste is put down, they go down to the bottom kennels, and animals get very sick from that. Also, when they're cleaning their cages, the animals have to sit there and waste, waiting to be put back into their cages. And also, as volunteers, I know I go out there, and when you take animals out of their cages, you have to get up to the top cages, and they're covered in waste because their cages are so small, and they get out about once a day. So it's also dangerous to volunteers that help out and all the kids that are there that have to take those animals out of these cages. And with these cages stacked like that, there also comes a lot of health issues to think about. There is, you know, the waste issue with the animals and how they're stuck in these cages like this. also the residents from Butler County that come to volunteer and to adopt animals. When they go in there, it's always a risk because you don't know what's going on with these diseases and all these animals that are like this. It's much easier for diseases to pass on through cages that are stacked up. When you walk into the shelter, it's something you really need to see because you have to see it to believe it. And there's a very strong smell when you walk in. You see animals that are everywhere and flies and even the conditions of the shelter. It doesn't make it very welcoming to want to adopt a pet. And that's the main purpose of this, is to get all the animals out. But it's a very hard place for that to happen because it's so old. And Butler County has grown a lot over the past 54 years. And it's hard to believe that we still have this small shelter to serve all of Butler County. And with all the new facilities that Butler County has built, it's an embarrassment to still have the same building. And it can't continue to serve all these animals. Even though the shelter does get money from dog license fees, they get 90% of that, it hasn't been enough to keep the shelter running. And a new building would be the only solution to this because we need bigger space and also to make sure that the animals will be cared for. When workers come in, it's a lot to ask for because there's a lot that needs done. And even though we have volunteers that come out, their cages are so small that there's many animals and they can only get out once a day. And on Sunday, for example, the shelter is not open. So these animals are stuck in their very small cages the whole day. And that's a huge health risk for all these animals and diseases that are being spread. We know that a new building would be probably the only solution. It would put an end to all the overcrowding, the health issues, the space, and to putting down healthy animals. It's heartbreaking when you go in there because healthy animals go in there and they have to be put down when they get sick because it's too expensive to give them medication. And a lot of people, older people, bring in pets a lot that say they can't care for them anymore. And they just think they'll get adopted, but sometimes they get too sick and it's too expensive to care for them anymore. And it shouldn't be that way. So, I thank you for your time, and if you would like to see the shelter, it's something you really should look at to see.
Katie, thank you very much for your presentation. It's just a shame that you're not out of school yet, or you could be our dog warden, I think. It did an excellent presentation. I know that it's not easy coming before us and speaking, but you did a fantastic job and a very compelling argument and presentation. And again, want to thank you for taking the time and the passion and the dedication to help out in this area. And I'm sure that we're going to try to do whatever we can to improve the situation. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's been a number of emails, and I apologize for myself for not being more prompt at getting back to you and to your mother. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Leland, watch out. She's going to be...
Mr. President.
Yes.
I'd like to commend you and your friend for your work in this matter and your devotion. And your speaking here today, it's very impressive. I have been to that shelter, but it's been many years ago, and it was not good then. So I can only imagine what it would be at this point. Are there any board members here today at all?
No, we have lots of our volunteers here today, though. A lot of our supporters, a few canine friends.
Are they on board for working toward?
Absolutely. We have a building committee, and we had a big meeting on Saturday with the architect and with the general contractor, and we're ready to go on this. We actually have the land at the shelter. We were trying to raise some awareness in the community to get land donated elsewhere, but nobody was interested in donating land, so we're going to use the land that we have right now adjacent to the shelter. The contractor tells us they're ready to build. You know, the architect says he could have something in a couple months, so we could theoretically start this year, you know, starting to move earth. That would be our dream, you know, because every day that we wait, there's more and more death and more suffering. And
Is there room there in the,
absolutely.
For the other, for the leech lines and all that that's
yep.
necessary?
Yeah, right next to our property, there's a tree line with a creek.
Right.
On the other side of that creek, we own all the land right there. And we were hoping to get a more central location in Butler County, but nobody donated the land, so that's fine. So we're just going to go ahead and do it there.
You do cooperate with the other shelters?
We do. The other shelters in Butler County, they take only about 300 to 600 animals a year, and they turn the rest of the animals away, and guess who gets the rest? We get the rest. So we try and send animals to them all the time, but they have very small shelters.
They're not-for-profit also.
They're not-for-profit also. They're also limited admission shelters, which means they pick which animals they take, and they're not in the same category as we are. They don't
are
put
they,
down animals.
Are they going to be in line for some funding also or for some assistance on their situations?
I would doubt it because we're the only one that has the contract that we sign every year that we've been signing for decades with mm-hmm. the county. We're the only shelter that can actually put down animals or that does actually put down animals. In other words, those shelters are otherwise known as no-kill shelters, and if they get animals that are marginal, they don't put them down. They'll work with them for extended periods of time. But in the reality, there's 7,000 animals that need to go somewhere, and so those are the shelters would not ever take them. They're ending up at our place. So that.
Are you familiar with the licensing fee in the other counties and how do we stack
no,
up with them?
No, truthfully, I'm not. They all do have licensing fee. Licenses are the law in the state of Ohio if you own a dog over 3 months of age. But that I don't want to penalize the people that license their dogs. In other words, the majority of the dogs coming into our shelter mm-hmm. have no licenses on them. So the majority of the people using our services are people that don't license their dogs. So I don't want to take the few people that do. There's about 36,000 people a year that license their dogs in Butler County. Mm-hmm. I don't want to penalize them with a tax to support the people that are really using our services. Obviously, we would like to raise it a little over time to help improve our annual operating budget that we sign with you folks every day. Essentially, it costs about $500,000 to $600,000 a year to run the shelter. And of that, we get only $165,000 a year from the county. So it's a very, any amount that we get is obviously appreciated, But if you look at the scheme of things versus the nearby shelters, how they're funded by their county, the nearby shelters are getting a lot more money every year from the county to operate. And it's just, we understand there's difficult economic times in every county around here. But we're always going to be taking in the same amount of animals or even possibly more, So we can't say, well, they're animals, they're the last ones we're going to consider supporting, because if we decided, well, you know what, we're not going to take any more animals from the county, it's over, then where are these animals going to go? They're just going to be running the streets, causing a health problem for the community. And in the short term, the biggest problem is in the building. I mean, you're all welcome to come out for a tour. It's unbelievable. And if we could get some money really quick out of the county to help match the monies that we already have, we could possibly get something going very shortly, which needs to happen.
Leland, you've been a real asset to the program and to Butler County. We really appreciate all your efforts
you.
Here. Commissioner Fox came up with some suggestions, which I just glanced through this morning, that sound like it might get us headed in the right direction.
Right.
That's all
I have. Leland, you say that the county supports the shelter $165,000 a year, and it takes $500,000. Well, your budget is $500,000.
I believe our budget this year is close to $600,000 this year.
Mm-hmm. So the remaining is through donations and fees.
The total amount of government money that we get is about $200,000. We get $25,000 a year from City of Hamilton. If you add up all, the biggest amount of money is coming from the county. And then a little bit of city money. So let's say about $190,000 to $200,000 we're getting total government sources. And the rest has to be raised either through donations, which we do. Last year we finally broke even for the first time in many years. So we have to raise them through donations or through the fees that we charge, through adoptions or through when somebody finds their pet at our shelter and they redeem it. But for years the shelter's been losing money, and essentially we just broke even finally. But that's a lot of money to raise, versus the amount of money that we're getting from government sources. I'd love the government sources to be a little bit higher so we can use the extra monies to, increase our spay-neuter programs in the community or increase the volunteer opportunities. At the shelter, I have no operations manager. I have no human resources department.
Yeah, you do. You're it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know what I mean? I have no volunteer coordinator. All these positions, I'd love to form them, because the more, you know, if you look at shelters like the SPCA in Cincinnati or Warren County over Lebanon, they're more funded every year with their annual budget from the county, and they have those positions. And the more people, you know, with more people you get like that, the more talents you have, and then the more the organization will flourish. You know, right now I'm treading water at the shelter, essentially.
Leland, the with a new shelter, you're saying it's going to cost $2 to $3 million?
Correct.
What increase in the budget would that be on a yearly basis?
Right now we're thinking it's not going to be that much, because it'll actually be a more efficient building. We've shown that we can operate with the staff that we have for $500,000 to $600,000 a year. We also have a full service vet clinic in the shelter. I don't know if you gentlemen know that, but we have a vet clinic in the shelter where all our animals are spayed and neutered before they're adopted. They're all microchipped. They all have their shots, so everything's done. And the building is very inefficient. We have air. We got air conditioning actually donated last fall for the first time in 54 years. We had no air conditioning for 54 years. It was unbelievable. And we actually had animals. We had an animal last summer that died of heat stroke in the shelter because it was so hot in the building. And so, thank God we got a donation from Beezer Homes, and now we have central air. But we have lots of cracks in the building. It's very old, so the building is very inefficient. With a modern animal shelter, it's going to be a lot more efficient. So we actually think it's not going to be that much increase in operating budget. If we want to hire more positions, that would obviously be an increase, but let's wait till we get to that point and see what we can hire. We're saying we can operate pretty efficiently. Obviously, I don't want to go right now, oh, we'd like $200,000 a year instead of $165,000 from the county, and we'd like X amount of dollars for a new building, because we're just going to get blown off. But essentially, the biggest priority right now is the conditions at the shelter. And it's to try and get us out of there and get a new facility. The contractor's ready to build, you know, or they're not doing anything right now, is what they've said. You know, we'd love to move earth this year.
Have you approached the different area community foundations for help?
We're working on that. One of our lovely volunteers, Gail, just did that the other day. We're going to get very small amounts of money out of that. We've had an unprecedented amount of publicity the last 2 months, and I left a kit with each one of you. We've gotten so much publicity, and we are getting donations coming in, and we appreciate every donation, from the $10 donations to the $50,000 donation, which I'm sure you read about. But when you're trying to raise money to build a commercial facility, you know, those are drops in the bucket compared to what we need. When this lovely facility here was built, you know, I'm sure we thought, well, let's go to these people and let's get Butler Tech to do it. Let's get the school. You got to do it right, and you got to have the funding. And right now we have some monies available to help build a shelter, but we're going to need a substantial commitment from the commissioners. It's hard to understand until you come out to the shelter and you see how bad it is, but we're doing a service for the county, and the service is keeping 7,000 animals off the streets every year, and those animals can be a big health risk to the community. So we're doing this service. It's kind of like if you had to hire a trapper to trap 7,000 raccoons a year, you know, it's something we're doing good for the community, and we're providing volunteer opportunities, but we've been doing it in partnership, you know, working with the county over these years. And I know in the past we didn't have a really good relationship with the county, is what I heard. And now in the last 2 years, since we have new management there, now we have a great relationship, and we've come up with plans, you know, for a modest animal shelter. When I talked earlier about $5 million in Montgomery County, the taxpayer paid for that whole thing up in Montgomery County, but it's also run by Montgomery County, which means it's a lot more expensive for you. And so you have a group here that we're running it, and we're paying for almost, you know, 2/3 of the operations. So it's a great arrangement that we have here. Now the SPCA in Cincinnati does the same arrangement with their county. They run the shelter, they have their own dog wardens, and then the county pays them every year. I believe it's over $1 million a year to operate down there. Warren County, same arrangement. It's a private nonprofit group that signs a contract every year with the county. So it's a great arrangement. It just, we need some serious help right now to help.
There's no other counties have any animal levies to fund that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Montgomery County is just straight out of general fund.
That is essentially, that shelter up there is entirely funded by the taxpayers, and it's run by the government. You know, I don't know how we do this. I'm not a money man, but we need to make something happen shortly. I know Derek's, you know, I've talked to him a lot about this issue, and we have videos you can watch on your computer at home, and you know, you're all welcome. welcome to come visit, but I could talk for hours about the shelter. I really could. Well, just, so when you look into these dogs that are coming in, and then 3 days later they start coughing, and then they have nasal discharge because they've gotten kennel cough, you know, and then you have to inject them with chemical to kill them. I mean, it's so horrible. And it's just because, it's not because we don't try, it's not because we don't give animals their shots, not because we don't clean, it's because it's a 54-year-old animal shelter. Most people don't live in 54-year-old houses, you know. So hopefully you guys can come visit, and hopefully we'll hear some positivity.
Well, thank you, Leland. I think Mr. Fox has something he'd like to say also. But
thank you, Mr. President. You think what goes on out there is cruel?
I don't think it's cruelty is defined as intentional harming an animal. We're not doing anything intentionally, but the fact it's not pleasant. It's not.
Well, if a dog comes in sick, mm-hmm. I mean, it comes in healthy,
right?
Ends up getting sick,
right?
And my understanding of the revised code is knowingly, not intentionally.
Right. Well, we're not purposely trying to get animals sick. If the animal,
but you're knowingly.
Right. Well, I know.
We know that happens.
Not every animal is going to get sick. Some animals are going to get sick to come in, and that's the most frustrating. But there's nothing we can do to prevent that. We do give the animals shots when they come in to prevent that, to try and help preventing sickness. But I'm not gonna say that I love animals and our staff love animals.
What I'm getting to is right. If I'm reading the revised code section, right. No person shall knowingly torture, torment, needlessly mutilate or maim,
right.
Cruelly beat, poison, needlessly kill,
right.
Or commit any act of cruelty to a companion animal.
Right.
The companion animal is any dog animal that's kept inside a residential dwelling or any dog or cat, regardless of where it is kept. Now, when I read that definition, there are a lot of folks that have the best of intentions with their animals at home but end up getting charged with animal cruelty. There's some that do outrageous things and
right.
So forth. But what I'm getting to is... the circumstances mm-hmm. at that shelter, as described here today, are just embarrassing. They're shameful.
I don't want to shame you guys. You know.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to. I want us to.
Work. I mean, there's no. Well, no. Well, my point is, it's indefensible.
Right.
I mean, here we take animals. I mean, someone's pet runs off, perfectly healthy, gets lost. One of our dog wardens picks it up. Takes it to the shelter. It contracts a disease and dies. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's pretty shameful.
I agree.
And that happens.
Absolutely. We actually have some people that animals have ended up as strays, and they end up in our shelter, and then the owners find the animal in the shelter, and then they call me 2 weeks later that my dog's sick that I picked up at your shelter. You know, and I actually will refund their money and try and help them a little bit, but it's because of the building, and it's because it's so old, and it's a shame that we have this county is growing, and there is money in this county, and we should the shelter should reflect the county, you know, and right now the rundown old shelter is reflecting the county, and we need to change that.
Now, Mr. Furman has a meeting upstairs that he needs to go out to. I have a Derek. Have you passed this out?
Everybody.
I've asked that we. Based on, and I want to, Kate, I want to thank you, and I want to thank your mother for being persistent. I until I got the email from your mother, Gail, is it? And you know, I sometimes I just miss things, and as there apparently was some paperwork in our office, and I've asked a lot of you, and thank you for coming this morning. I've asked a lot of folks come. I see our county auditor. I asked County Auditor Kay Rogers. She is here, and she has her dog Chuck to testify as well, and my wife is here. This is the second commission meeting my wife has ever come to in the 9 years, and we've got little Abby that both Chuck and Abby were rescued from the animal shelter. Abby's 15 years old and just the sweetest little dog
God, I wish I would have known. I could have brought my dog.
No, we. That's. I've seen all 4 years in action. I'm glad you only brought one. But I asked Kay because one of the dilemmas we have. I'm recommending that we look at. I talked to Derek, and he said I think a $5 additional fee on tags would raise $175,000. But Kay, could we have Kay come up and speak to this issue?
Okay.
You gonna bring Chuck? Bring Chuck.
He's a lot heavier now that he's been with us for 2 years. Uh-huh.
Than
2 years.
Oh yeah, hardly recognize you, Chuck.
He's got hair.
Chuck is.
He didn't have much.
Chuck
hair.
Is 2 years old.
No, he's probably about four.
He was an adult.
You've had him. You've had him for about 2 years.
We've had him 2 years.
And you got him from the.
He was there.
You got him from the shelter.
It was covered in fleas when she hurt. Who came to pick?
Sarah.
No, Lynn. What's
Lynn,
his name?
Yeah.
Lynn came to come pick the dog up, and I was like, okay, here's the dog, and it was covered in fleas, and then I took it to a groomer, had it groomed, and then you got it from the groomer, right?
She named this dog Chuck before the May primary, so she... She didn't want to confuse. She didn't want to confuse the dog by changing his name.
Anyway,
I'm kidding.
No comment. When we raised the license fee several years ago, to this day, actually, the number of dog tags we now issue has gone down. So I don't see increasing the cost of dog tags as a viable solution. But I do have a couple ideas for you, and I think, one, you can get on the County Auditors Association of the State of Ohio's website, and you can see pretty much what all the licensing fees are throughout the state of Ohio, because we did all turn in that information. And I think you'll find that Butler County's fee is already high, okay? So adding $5 on probably is not going to cure the problem, because we're going to probably issue less tags, okay? But Derek, I know you and I have talked about enforcement as an issue and potentially sending people out to actually start enforcing. Because when you look at other counties around us, like Claremont, Hamilton, Warren, and Montgomery County, and the number of tags that they actually issue relative to size, you can see, like in Montgomery County and Warren County, where they do have newer facilities, actually the number of tags that they sell, Warren County is like a in 2005, they sold 23,046 tags, where we only sold 32,569. And when you consider how much smaller Warren County is than us, obviously we should have sold more. And Montgomery County in 2005 sold 69,830 tags. One idea I kind of had right now, it's obviously late into 2006, but if we would offer an amnesty program for maybe 2 weeks in September, where people don't have to do that doubling on the tag fee to come in and get their dogs licensed and go ahead, and we won't charge them that extra fee. That might be a way to go ahead and get, you know, more dogs licensed and get some additional fees in. But raising the cost of the tags, I really don't see that as a solution. We have asked the prosecutor's office, because Leland did address us about sending out, when we do send out for the licensing, to ask for donations for the animal shelter, and the prosecutor's opinion is we're not allowed to do that. So that's why.
Let me ask you a question about that. What if we already give to, you send out donations letters, correct, Leland? So obviously, why couldn't we make an allocation to the dog to the Humane Society? What they do with the funds, they're already doing this. Then send a countywide mailing connected to an amnesty program that also talks about. I think there are the two main things that drive licensing, and this is under your jurisdiction, so you know more about it than I do. But I think number one is, people just don't think about it. I don't think it's a deliberate thing. They're on the lam. Okay, I know I got to license my dog, and we're going to, you know, be, you know, fugitives from justice here until they catch us. I don't think it's that thought process. I think that it's just a question of, it's not in their consciousness. And until you make an awareness, and I know you took some hits for even trying to make people aware of, hey, you have a responsibility to do this. The second issue is they don't see, and this is the point Leland made, those of us that own dogs, the licensing fee, we have an understanding that really the fee is really to take care of those pets that others either aren't taken care of, they've been abandoned. I mean, those dollars all go to, whether they go to Leland's group or whether they go to run our animal shelter, those dogs all go back into caring for dogs that have been abandoned or that are hurting other people that need to be taken away. So I think if you make that connection between people, and we have all kinds of points, whether it's stores or I know the vets all cooperate in this, but
well, that's another problem is the veterinarians will not, we have asked them to also have dog tags available at their facilities, and the veterinarians will not.
What?
Will not sell dog tags at their facilities.
Why?
Which other counties do when the veterinarians refuse to sell dog tags at their facilities, there then becomes an issue there between the county and the vets. So,
do any of our vets sell tags?
A few, very few. Two or three.
And but how many vets do we have in the county, do we know?
Well, we even mailed to all of them. We mailed to all of them last fall and asked them if they would start to sell dog tags.
I can't imagine a vet not selling.
And they're
dog
the one
tags.
Right there who has the animal there. They should want, because, you know, the reasoning is for the protection of the animals. Obviously, if somebody cares enough about their pet to take it to the vet and get all their required shots, you would want to take that additional step and make sure that the dog's licensed, just like they have to have their rabies tag and everything else. So, but no, we cannot get them to do it. I think it's, they'll give the excuse that it's the paperwork, you know, they have to collect the fee, it's the liability if they lose the tag, you know, on and on of excuses. But for the well-being of the animal, they should be licensed. Another point that needs to be made is, because we hear this commonly, is people get upset because cats don't need licenses. You know, well, why do cats not need licenses and dogs do? So that's another argument you're going to hear, and I'm sure Leland hears that all the time too. But the veterinarians in this county do not help us with this, and I find that very disturbing, to be honest with you, that they do not help in this whole process.
The Veterinarians Association?
Yes, we even asked them. And obviously, Sean Webster, who is our state rep, he's a veterinarian. Chuck's got his leash on right now. But Sean, you know, doesn't even participate in selling the tags either. So, and it's not like we haven't tried, because we did. We pushed again last fall to try to get all of them to sell tags.
Well, I think that what I've done, and I've put together some ideas. Those of you that I didn't even consider, you know, I just assumed that vets would sell tags. So,
yeah, but one thing, again, I think would be a good thing, and we just talked about this on the way over here today, is if we could have like an amnesty 2 weeks or something like that, a piece that went out would list all the places where they can buy dog tags throughout the county, make that available. But I think if we did a better job on enforcement and that, a lot of Leland's wish things he want, we'd be able to help more with that without affecting the county's general fund budget and that. So, but I can tell you my daughters all came up, and I think one of my sons, four out of the six children actually went up when they picked Chuck out to bring him home, and they were just disgusted, and they just were so sad when they came home because of the condition of that facility. So
let me also ask a question about, you mentioned land. We have, Derek and I have talked about Woodsdale. The county actually owns land, as does the park district, all over. There are, I don't know how.
The key would be access to sewer. was what they were looking at, right. Looking at a new location because of they want it to be a sewer instead of a septic.
Or we can
system.
Make a modern right. septic system. That's the other option. You know,
make what?
Or you could just make a modern septic system.
Yeah, we have like the reason I they could not be here today because of a conflict, but I don't know if you're familiar with Hal and Martha Hamill. They have 125 acres. They are an animal. They have an animal foundation. They have they operate an animal rescue place. They have plenty of space. It just is it is awful for me to go to that shelter and see these poor dogs kept in cages. I mean, they could be the nicest dog in the world. You put any dog in a cage 24 hours a day, and they get out once. It just that to me is if that doesn't meet your definition of cruelty, Leland. I don't know what does. If we had a person that somebody called and said, "Hey, my neighbor keeps his dog in the backyard or in a hut in a cage, and he's got him stacked three high, and the feces and the weight goes down and drips on the other one," I think we'd send our dog warden out, and I think we'd cite them for cruelty to animals. Now, how is that different from what government is operating?
I know.
Okay, so I know you didn't want to go there, but the facts are that's where we are. I mean, maybe the solution is to just keep writing fines against ourselves and beef up the general fund that way.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I mean, and it's not just dogs that have been abandoned or just let out in a county road someplace. I mean, this is a service to folks who own pets that sometimes get lost, and you don't want to think. We used to have a little dog over it when we lived at Fairham, and she had a habit of getting exploring. And when she would get out, and I mean, we would panic when it occurred to us, oh my God, I hope they haven't taken her to the, because that's when the Brits ran the place, and things happened pretty quick, and we were concerned that the dog would get picked up, taken to the place, and we'd end up having them, euthanized. It was our pet. And that was the first thing. You go over and say, look, if this dog comes in, and finally we got a couple cats, and she said, the heck with this, and off she went,
I think with the licensing goes really to help pay for our annual budget and then pay for the operation of your dog wardens also, which are employed by the county. So the licensing thing is really not going to relate to raising funds for a new building. That's something over time that we need.
Well, it would help with your debt service
right.
if we get you more money.
Right. We need what we need to do is there are a lot of different groups that have, for example, I see this as a broader issue, and I think you can build constituencies to what you have is a problem that requires a solution, and the more constituencies you build to create that solution, the better off you are. The first thing I want to talk about is this is your issue, but 5 or 6 acres, you can have the types of runs and all, and you talk to me about these, kind of portable runs that you just kind of stack in. But to me, number one, is space is an issue. I go out to Hal and Mark, they rescue horses, they rescue, I mean, they've got all the space in the world. And they've got 18 dogs out there now, and they pretty much take, and they're doing all this out of their own pocket. But letting the dogs have running space as opposed to being confined in a small cage to me is a critical thing. You and I talked about that as would be part of the new thing. Having the one thing we've got around here that I don't know how, have you talked to us about what property the county owns?
We have sent out emails requesting, property. Our property, if we're, it's not that bad, but we would need some, if there is other property available that's better, it would need to be in central Butler County. So you look at Butler County right in the middle.
Well, I got you on that. I don't know that, I got you. But
essentially, I understand what you're saying.
What's your definition of central? Trenton?
Like Trenton, Hamilton type area.
Yeah.
But essentially, with this, the size of the shelter is what you're getting at. You think we should need all these acres and all that kind of stuff. Essentially, animal shelters, animals are in cages, even in brand new shelters.
I got you.
Our cages will be bigger, but when you have 200 to 300 animals in a building, you can't have them all running free or have large areas for them outside.
Well, you should look at this, the Dog Whisperer program. You ever watch that?
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's got them running in
all the time.
He's got out in L.A. He's got a pretty good thing. The other thing is
that's the way to spread a lot of disease. When you have shelter pets, you can't have them all running. They're all going to get sick. So you can't have them touching.
Well, we're already doing that, so we can only improve.
But we don't want to do that in the new.
The other thing is we've got. I know the Metro Parks has 60 acres on Route 4.
Okay.
We've got. If you sold your land, and we, you know, you captured the revenue from that, we gave you free land, then you could apply the revenue you get from selling. I don't know how, you know, how appealing it would be on the market.
It has to be a good location for the community, too.
I got you. I mean, are you open to go someplace other than where you are? Okay, let me start with that question.
But what I do is I'd love to go to our architect, you know, in a couple of months and go, here's how much money we have, here's how much the county is going to give
you.
Us. And then what can you build?
And that's where I want, that's where I'd like to see us go.
Right.
The other question about these other communities, do you know, could you tell me how many dogs come from Middletown, Hamilton, Westchester, Ross, and all that?
Top of my head.
But I mean, not now, but you do keep data on that?
Correct.
Another thing we might talk to the other communities about is, you know, if 40% of the dogs are coming from Community X, and their contribution is either zero or modest, then we might talk about other contributions.
Warren County, when they built their new their expansion for $2.8 million, the county gave them money, and then the cities gave them a little bit. But the county is like, it's such a large area, you know, and that's where the bulk of the animals do come from, the county. But then our second one would be City of Hamilton, then City of Middletown, and then just hundreds just from the other cities. So.
Anyway, what I'd like to do, and the only thing I left off my kind of list here that we've discussed today was the issue of the other communities' contribution.
Okay.
And what I'd like to do, and this is, we can do this one of two ways. I would like to move on this quickly.
Absolutely.
To just have put together some group. I came up with some ideas. Maybe you guys can come up with better ideas about who, you know, just put together a work group. And I'd like, with Greg, with your permission, put Derek, just pull people together. Working with Leland, you guys have already had lots of conversations, but expand the conversation to include, you know, Butler Tech. One group I left off here, Derek, is juvenile court. I know in Franklin County they have a program that deals with horses, but one of the things, there are two factors, and it's we know that when teenagers or young kids are cruel to animals, that is a major predictor of later involvement in the criminal justice system. But they're also very therapeutic. And when you get these rascals that are always in trouble involved in animal activities, it's also a healing type of a thing. And so we might talk to the juvenile court about kind of, I know One Way Farm, Barb Kondo uses animal therapy is a really powerful tool in taking kids who've been abused and kind of giving, I mean, it really is effective. Same thing with seniors. Maybe we touch to the, I mean, it presents issues, but talk to some of the assisted living rest home facilities in the county. I know.
Right now, we have two seniors homes that we go to in Hamilton, and then we have community service workers that come out that have community hours through the court, and they work in the shelter right now. So we're definitely doing that.
So what you know, the animal adoption part, how if we do this mailing that we discussed, we could actually kind of get a hotline, say if you want to take in an animal, we want to work with you. And in other words, again, it's like selling anything, it's marketing anything. If you can't get people to act if they aren't aware. And the more awareness you create and the more awareness points that you're getting the information to them, the better off you are. There's no, Mr. President, the list of ideas that I've got, there's no, I mean, what we could do is have Derek go through this with Leland or whatever, bring it back for the next meeting. We can act on it today. Doesn't time-wise, whatever your preference is or whatever Derek suggests, and come back with a formal resolution that kind of maps out, here's how we're going to get there. Mr. President, there's somebody that wants to say something.
Yes, I'm sorry.
As a citizen of Butler County, I would like to know what keeps us from putting it on the ballot this fall and letting the people vote for a tax for the shelter.
Well, it's something we could do, but we couldn't make it for, I think we're past the deadline for this November.
Are we?
Yeah. 75 days before.
Yes, I think we are
past. Did it already pass?
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's something you could
do. Since you're on the ballot this year, I would I would take you.
Yeah.
What is the date today?
Today is the 21st.
Yeah.
It's either that or the 20th. I always thought the 24th.
He says that they are desperate for the money because they are absolutely desperate. And
hey, when's the last day to put something on the ballot?
Shame, because it's been in that condition for years.
24th?
Years.
So if we passed a resolution by the 24th, we could get it on the ballot, an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. What's your name, please?
My name is Nancy Bender, and I adopted a dog from Animal Friends Humane Society 2 years ago, and she is the Walt Disney dog.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Nancy, for coming up. And
The deadline date is August 24th, 4 p.m. So, you know, one of the things, how much would a, does anybody, what would mill? So all we'd have to do is $7 million. If we put a quarter mil, that getting this money, wouldn't it? Basically 25% of. No, we'd need a third. I don't know.
Third what, for 1 year.
For 1 year. I mean, I think it's a good point to ask. I mean, the amazing thing is you guys have an extraordinary community base.
Right.
And I think you have a compelling argument. And I don't know how much thought has been given to this, but and it may be a better alternative. I mean, the balance on raising, one of the things I put on my list is look at the issue of raising fees. Derek and I talked about that. But unfortunately, you end up penalizing the people who are complying with law. And as the auditor pointed out, you end up getting less compliance because there's always, it's like when you attack somebody's dog or cat, it becomes the principle of the thing, and they want to go to war over it. And I know every time we've raised fees, you get the calls, you know, why are you punishing those of us that are actually doing what we're supposed to do? Somebody else?
Yes.
Okay, first.
Michelle, she put flyers in mailboxes in our neighborhood and said, we'll be collecting this Christmas for the Humane Society.